It's Armando Salguero. Armando, welcome back.
What up, JR?
How are you? Long time. We got football back now, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, it's coming at us hot and hectic. And, yeah, before you know it, Thursday's going to be here, and we're on to week two.
Now, let me ask you this. I know you're based in Florida. We all have heard about this Tyreek Hill situation. Is this, like, done? Are we going to see something positive come out of here? Are we going to get a summit, or is this over? Are we getting lawsuits? What's going on?
Well, it's definitely not done, and the reason it's not done is there is an ongoing internal investigation by the Miami-Dade Police Department relative to the actions and behavior of their officers in that traffic stop of Tyreek Hill prior to Sunday's game between the Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so, you know, until we have a finish to that investigation, it's going to continue to move along. I can tell you that it's just a sad. It was a sad episode for everyone involved. Look, I talked to a current police detective out west who is a major crimes detective. He's a former South Florida resident, a Miami Dolphins fan, and was tied into the team at the highest levels once upon a time. And he broke it down for me, and it's as simple as this. Tyreek Hill, when he was ordered to roll down his window, brother, roll down your window and you know, do what the cop says. As a matter of fact, in Florida, you have an obligation to, you know, do what the cop is asking / requesting / commanding.
Yeah.
And if you have an argument with it, you figure that out in court later on. You don't fight with the guy on scene because it ends up you get dragged to the floor and it turns ugly. As far as the cops are concerned, this policeman told me, look, that was just poor training, a lack of training, too much testosterone, no ability to de-escalate. It was just a bad, bad look for the Miami-Dade Police Department and those officers. So basically, everybody got it wrong, and it looked like everybody got it wrong. And, of course, now everybody's picking sides, and we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right. Armando Salguero is joining us, NFL staff writer for Outkick and Fox. Well, if we think about the football on the field, the Dolphins will be back in action on a short week against the Buffalo Bills. Based on what you've seen, based on what we saw last year, what is your outlook for these Miami Dolphins, especially in this AFC East with the Bills and also the Jets?
Yeah, so I don't even believe you mentioned the Jets. They're in last place. So right now, right. Anyway, the Dolphins are, you know, basically the same kind of team that we saw last year, a team that relies on its passing game, a team that relies big time on a scheme that gets the ball out quick and relies on Tua Tagovailoa to read the defense quick, go through his progressions quick, and be accurate. The thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars did for most of last week's game, the first three quarters at least, was they took away the first read for Tua, and that forced him to do and say this. That put him in rough territory, and it looked bad, and the Jaguars were ahead for most of that game until Tua found Tyreek Hill for an 80-yard touchdown pass, and the rest is history. So that's what the Dolphins are. What are the Bills? Two words, Josh and Allen.
Yeah.
It looks like hero ball, and he is the best player on the field most game days, and he certainly was on Sunday. He had four touchdowns, two running, two passing, and it's great when it works, but I wonder how sustainable that is over a 17-game season.
Armando Saguero is joining us here, the JR Sport Beat Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When you take a look at what we did see, some of the positives from week one, what's something that you think is worth highlighting?
Well, let's start with no sophomore jinx for CJ Stroud.
Okay.
The man in his second season comes out a 115.9 quarterback rating, 2 touchdown passes, and in typical CJ Stroud fashion, no interceptions. He just doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and now they've got a running game. Joe Mixon had 159 yards. So, you know, they're good. Also good, the Kansas City Chiefs. Imagine that. They're good, right? Too. And the problem for everybody else is they might be better than they were last year when they won the Super Bowl, and the year before when they won the Super Bowl. And so now we're talking three-peat, and I think it's legitimate talk. Because, did I mention, they're really good. They've got a passing game that a lot of people are going to go, this is a problem. Xavier Worthy is a problem. Rashee Rice is a problem. And when Hollywood Brown gets healthy, he's going to be what? A problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, argue with that one if you want. And then in the other conference, the Cowboys, I was impressed by that performance. They just put it to the Browns and in every which way that they wanted. And, you know, Cleveland came into that game as a Super Bowl aspirant, not a team that thinks it can win or hopes to win the division. They aspire to win the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys laid it to them, just dominated.
As senior NFL writer Armando Saguero was here with us. You mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, and we know Dak Prescott is now the highest paid quarterback ever, making $60 million annually. You know, some of the other quarterbacks you mentioned, whether it be the Jags or the Browns, these dudes are hauling in, you know, $53 and $55 million. You talk about Tua Tagovailoa, he's in that $50+ million club. Now, Armando, we know the salary cap is going to continue to go up. We know the expectations out of quarterbacks out the gate, they continue to go up. You look at Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. At what point, or do we reach an inflection point in 5 or 10 years where it's just like, look how much money we're paying the quarterbacks, and these guys are average, or they're not good enough. Do we ever reach that, or is the NFL making so much money it doesn't matter?
That's a great point. Look, it's better to not have a quarterback, to be lacking a good quarterback and knowing that you got to go get one, than to have one that you're paying a lot of money to and you've committed to and you think is going to be good, but isn't all that good, because now you're not winning championships, you're still paying a high price, and your chances of being bad enough to be great or to get great are diminished. That's a terrible position to be in. There are some teams that find themselves on the border of that position, and some teams that are all the way in that position, including the New York Giants.
Oh, boy.
Remember, they paid Daniel Jones $40 million a year, and when they did that, it doesn't look like a big number now, but when they did it, it was a huge number. And how many championships have they won with him? Oh, none. And how great is he? Oh, he's not. And how many winning seasons has he provided? Oh, zero. So that's all stuff that you know can really set your teams upside down, and not in a good way.
Yeah, it's a lot of money flowing here in the NFL. I know, Armando, you feel good about the Chiefs. Would not be surprised if they went out there, the first team in a Super Bowl era, to repeat. What team do you think has the best opportunity to knock them off coming out of the NFC or maybe even the AFC?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Philadelphia has a stacked roster. The San Francisco 49ers have a stacked roster. Man, the 49ers are just, they're just so good. And they've got the system, and they've got the talent, And yes, they are paying through the nose for all of it, but I don't think that their fans who go to the games on game day are thinking, oh, how much are we under the salary cap? Is this really going to be a problem for us when they're winning? Okay? So nobody thinks salary cap when the number that gets put on the board, or the letter that gets put on the board, rather, is a W. So obviously the 49ers are a thing. In the AFC, to challenge Kansas City, well, I mean, Baltimore gave them a game, a good game. So them, I was a little disappointed by the Bengals. I expect big things from the Bengals this year, but, you know, I guess Joe Burrow never starts fast. And when your wide receiver core is not 100% either there or all there at all, like T. Higgins wasn't, they're not quite the same team anymore. The Dolphins are good. The Bills are good. But did I mention that the Chiefs are really, 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 really good?
Yeah, three-peat, I guess. We'll see. Armando, are you going to go to the parade if they three-peat? Are you? No?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I definitely go to be at the game if they are there for the three-peat, that's for sure.
I hear that. Well, Armando, thank you so much, as always, for the insight. Where can people follow you and all of your work and expertise on OutKick and elsewhere?
Yes, sir. OutKick.com, FoxNews.com, on social media, on X at Armando Salguero, SALGUERO. I appreciate you, JR.
All the time. Always great to chat with you. Let's see what these Dolphins do on Thursday. I know the running backs might be in a little bit of trouble. We'll see.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.